And you may be seated once you have loved on somebody. Everybody enjoying the weather outside today? Amen. The weather is good inside with Jesus, and His presence is drawing on us. Can y'all sense that? And it's like, oh, I like the presence of God. It's so attractive to our makeup and our DNA. Amen. It's something we crave, even when we are being hard-headed, correct? Lord, I don't know why I keep doing stupid, but I still want to be around You. Amen. And if the chips are down, I want Jesus in the mix. And isn't it interesting, whether we make our bed in hell or not, He is there with us through thick and thin, regardless, because He is the one chasing us. We're not chasing Him. The best we can do is come out from under the shadow and say, here I am, Lord. Can You use me? Amen. And so He's chasing us. And I'm so thankful for His passion for us. I got a question to ask you, amen, in the house, before I get into what God is really challenging me this week with. And I mean, He has challenged me more than once this week. Amen. The question is, how can I know that I'm not telling the truth to my thoughts? How can I know that I'm not telling the truth to my thoughts? And somebody's saying, Pastor, why you come up with questions like that? Because He's challenging my spirit to go to a higher place in Him. There is a higher place. And the only reason we don't achieve that higher place, amen, isn't because of our Father. It's because in every given moment, God's drawing us up. He's asking us to come up with Him. Amen? And the way to go up with God is to go down. All right, let me help you here. When you deny yourself, or when you humble yourself before God, He will raise you up. And I want to experience higher places in Him. And those higher places are revelation. They're enlightenment. He enlightens the eyes of our understanding. He takes us to two new places of truth. Amen. And He sets us free. Doesn't that sound good? Everybody said, man, I want that. Yeah, I need that every day. I want to get to a place where I don't get angry, frustrated, ready to bite someone's head off or beat them up or gossip or, you know, think thoughts I shouldn't think. And the list goes on. We don't want to go there, do we? And so the only reason we go to those places in our thoughts is because we're agreeing with something we shouldn't be agreeing with. We're not telling the truth to our thoughts. Cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against God, and bring every thought into captivity. That's what we're talking about today, a higher place than where I am. Amen. I like the idea of the grace of God. Anybody like the idea of the grace of God? Somebody said, I don't want it to just be an idea. I want it to be real. Right? And so the mercy of God and the grace of God is available for all of us. Matter of fact, everyone experiences the mercy and the grace of God all the time. Whether you're lost or saved, sinner or saint, in or out, whatever you want to call it, you're experiencing the mercy of God. Every day you get up, the mercies of God are made new. And it's because of His mercy that you exist in the moment. He is in love with you, lost or saved, prodigal or son that's at home. It don't matter. He loves His kids, and He's already adopted us, but, you know, there's some of us that's finally accepted that adoption. And we're taking our identity seriously now. But we've had a world full of precious people that God's in love with. He's bought them. They're his treasure, and they haven't taken advantage of that. So when you think of grace and mercy, what do you think of? Do you think of, well, man, that's my get-out-of-jail-free card? Or is grace and mercy a license to commit murder or go rob a bank or have it my way at Burger King? I might do that before long. So I encourage you today, how do you perceive the grace of God and the mercy of God? Because in our Christian world, I've heard many say, oh man, whatever feels good, do it. Man, I got the mercy of God. That's actually been said over pulpits before, on stage before. And I can understand how you can be manipulated by the enemy to not tell the truth to your thoughts. But the reason Jesus gives me mercy and grace today is because he wants to finish what he started. Does that sound kind of like that might be in the scriptures? That God's mercy has been extended to me because he wants to fulfill the purpose he gave or he put in my life, and that's for me to come into the full stature of Christ. The salt of the earth, the light of the world, the children of God, kings and priests, ambassadors of the kingdom of God. You and I have been commissioned by heaven to serve citizenship papers to everybody we come in contact with that's in our lane. We're giving them the good news. You're not of this world. Amen. You don't have to let this world hold you captive. Your debt's already been paid. Your jail cell is not locked. You can walk out anytime you want to. And God wants us to begin a journey with him, a wonderful journey of coming into his likeness. And that means every waking moment, every breath you breathe can be an experience in God, in his kingdom now. And that kingdom is within you. Amen? And so true humility can only be expressed through the Holy Spirit. And all other humility in our world is false humility. It's an expression that Satan, through his spirit of fear, amen, brings us into his control, and he holds our identity in prison. Anybody ever felt like that before? Where you doubted that you were valuable, where you doubted that God loved you, you felt like, amen, he didn't care anymore. And the list goes on of all kinds of expressions that make you feel way less than somehow I'm not this bad, but I feel like that's the way God sees me. And so, I have an example here. I'm going to read out of Psalm 61. Have to make myself stand behind the notes to read the scripture, or I won't read it, because it's burning in my spirit to get this burden off of me and into your hands so that you can look at it, observe it. Potentially, you'll eat it and digest it in your spirit, and it'll be the bread of life into your spirit. David, as a shepherd, he has already been anointed, and he's given his identity. You're a king. God has placed you in a ruler position, and he's going to be a blessing to this nation of Israel. But in this particular setting, David is running, and his enemy has surrounded him. His close friend has betrayed him. And he's at a place where he don't know what to do. You ever been there before? Where you didn't know what to do in your circumstance, that you had come to an end. And here in Psalms 61, it reads this way, "Hear my cry, O God," verse 1. "Listen to my prayer from the ends of the earth. I call to you." I call, amen, "as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David needed to go to a higher place than where he was at. He knew in his present condition that he didn't have any clarity on what step to make next. He was at a dead stop. And I don't know which way to go now, Lord. You're going to have to give me something from a higher place than where I'm at. And I'm asking you right now, and I'm going to just tell you, if you get to a place today where you are, or if you're there right now, all you need to do is a few little things that moves heaven on the scene, because he's ready to run to you. David cried out to the Lord. And when he cried out to the Lord and said, take me to the rock, and we all know that rock is Jesus today, that is higher than me. Take me there. And he says, he goes on to say in his prayer, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. So David's prayer reveals, amen, that to us that God has revelations to give us that we don't know how to ask for. David did not know what he needed, but he knew his God knew what he needed. And he's saying, Lord, you already know. I don't know, but you need to help me get to that place of knowing. I don't know how to get there if you don't help me. And so if you're at a place in your Christian walk today that you think in your mind that I'm okay, everything's good, I want to tell you that's one of your signals that you're not telling the truth to your thoughts. Because none of us have arrived. We're still in the race. We're still on a journey with Jesus. And the necessary factor in the scriptures, the necessary factor all over the Bible is change. You can't get around it. We're being changed into his image from glory to glory as by the Spirit. The Spirit. Not apart from the Spirit of the Lord. I want to emphasize that. The Spirit is the breath of life. If I am allowing that breath to move through me, amen, it's changing me. The moment I'm not being spirit-breathed upon is the moment I cease to change. And I've had several of those moments after 58 years. And I'm going to tell you a few of those moments today so that it can encourage you to know that God is into the detail. He hadn't finished what he started in any of us. He's after something. And he's the only one that can bring us to a place of knowing. God is passionate about us finding out how to get to this place of knowing of him. And so, do you want to know what it is that God wants you to know? You can. Lead me to the rock, Lord, that's higher than me. We have not because we don't let a religious spirit that looks like and appears to be like Jesus say, oh, you're good. Everything's okay. Relax. I remember an old elder that encouraged me, and he preached to the church. His name was Sterling Pilot. And he preached the message entitled, A Baby Cannot Live Off a Dead Mother's Breast. And he used, somebody said, Pastor Lowe, be careful now. No, he used a story of back before you had hospitals and the ladies gave birth at the home, or even they gave birth in the fields. And this particular story was that this lady, it was a time for her to give birth, and they didn't recognize her reaching for help. And they left her in the fields, and she gave birth, but she didn't make it that night. And they found her and a baby clenched to her breast that just died. He was still warm in her arms. but it couldn't live off a dead mother's breast. And I'm just telling you, we get the sincere milk of the Word of God because the church is alive. The church is giving birth, and the church is taking care of the babies. And we need a fresh word from heaven. Not just one or two times in our life. We need a fresh word from heaven every waking days of our lives. The only way I can follow him is I have an ear to hear what he's saying. I cannot follow Jesus because without hearing and experiencing the Spirit of God speaking to me, I will not be empowered to go with him. And the lack of empowerment to follow Jesus is due to the fact that we're not telling the truth to our thoughts. Yeah, man, I'm getting fervent about this right now because the presence of God, he's so in love with you. And he's using me right now to challenge you to know he don't want you to suffer in areas you don't have to suffer in when he's already paid the debt off. He's paid for you to have victory in your body, in your health, in your finances, in your marriage, in all of your relationships. You don't have to suffer like you're suffering right now. The Word of God, the voice of God, the Word of God, the breath of God is a sharp two-edged sword. It divides all that away from us and cuts it out of us like a cancer, leaving us free to be who He designed us to be. All because we're able to do as Tony Mills will tell you, yes, Lord, yes. I don't understand what you just said, but yes. I'm going with you, Daddy. And how many children like to hang out with their daddy, and they don't understand what he's doing. They don't understand what he... They just like hanging out with him. They don't know what he just said. But I'm hanging out with Daddy. And that's all he's asking. And some of y'all just got a revelation of what he's asking from all of us. Anybody need to be affirmed today? I do. And affirmation comes when you hang out with Daddy, when you just walk with him. He's not asking us to perform. He's just asking us to come go with him, and he's going to show us things that blow our mind. One revelation, one knowing after the next. There is a higher place than where you are. You may be okay in the moment, but get ready. There's going to be times when you're driving and you're going to want to give somebody the number one sign. And you're really going to need God to talk to you about this higher place at that moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a multitude of illustrations of when we need a higher place in the moment. That's why the Lord, he's not stopping when he talks to us about living in the moment, getting in rhythm with God, in harmony with what he's saying, in unity with him, letting him come to his house and being king of his kingdom within you, so that from you he can finish what he started. He will not do it without his church. He will not do it without his body. Unity is the thing that God blesses. And I have found multiple times in my life of reaching and serving and loving on people that my personal life, I have been out of unity with him. And there was times that I needed a higher place in him, and he still blessed the people in my lane. He still reached out there and give them the hug they need while I'm wrestling with him about what I need. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Isn't it good that God, amen, can take care of his house, his kingdom, his family, and he actually gets all the props because look what the Lord has done? that at the end of this thing, the fact that I was used to baptize or make disciples or preach the word or whatever, I can't toot my horn on none of it, because I didn't do anything. He did it all, because we wear his name and we walk in his power. Amen. We walk in his identity. The word we have came from him. It didn't come from me. And all of a sudden, when we begin to realize that he's the one doing all this, it's easier to humble ourselves, to go down so that we can go up to this higher place. Amen. You're special, but you're not special. You're valuable, but then there is potential devaluation based on the way you tell the lie to your thoughts. Is this tracking? Because if I believe some of the things I've heard and the religious ideas I've adopted over my life, I've got example after example to tell you that God worked with it, and sometimes it impacted or affected those that were in my path because I didn't handle and steward the ones he gave me to serve correctly, because I was not telling the truth to my thoughts. Remember, don't forget this. When you were formed in your mother's womb, every one of us, all the information came to the heart of the baby, and it was stored in the brain. That science has already proven that. So as you're developing in the womb, information comes in through the heart and stored in the brain. And so when we come out, amen, and we're born the first time, our emotional intelligence has already been impacted by the information we received when we was in the womb, depending on what kind of stress mom was going through, whatever the circumstances, whether it's her life, whether she was on drugs or not on drugs or whatever. The list goes on. That child's life was already impacted before it was born the first time. And all of us before we was born the second time, were we not impacted? And we come to Jesus with some baggage, didn't we? And Paul is telling the church, look, this thing don't stop. You got to keep cutting weights and sins that beset you off. What's he telling them? When you go look at the train of thought there, he's letting them know, hey, stinking thinking don't work for you. When you don't tell the truth to your thoughts, the enemy has an in route, and he'll let you go to church and never be the church. Amen? There is a higher place. And so I want to take a few moments and just challenge everybody with some thoughts of how we can step into this higher place today and take advantage of the moment by experiencing, amen, what God wants us to experience, whether it's a new place in Him, a new position, a new profession, a new identity. Anything that God has for you comes by way of experience. You don't guess at this. You're not guessing if you're a believer. You got experience to validate it. Whether anybody else believes it or not, I know that I know that I know happened to you. And if I know that I know that I know did not happen to you, then you're probably not where you think you are. I got to say that one more time. You don't have a testimony if you don't have an experience that you know only God could give you. But if me and you come together and we talk about Jesus and we even pray together, that don't mean that you've been redeemed. Redemption has everything to do with identity. God is redeeming you out of darkness into light, out of a false identity into true identity. And it's important that we receive this reality. And so whatever challenge you're going through, let me encourage you, God wants you to win today. Amen. Jesus had the 3, the 12, the 70, and then you have the multitude. He impacted a then known world. But the 3, when they were together, they get to You need to find out who's mentoring you in your life. You need to know who you're supposed to be connected to. They're not ruling you. They're serving you. Whoever you're supposed to be connected to, they encourage you. They build you up. They edify you. They strengthen you. They speak life into your life. You need to find out who they are. And let me say it this way. God is not going to connect you with necessarily who you want to be connected with. Why? Because we don't tell the truth to our thoughts. We don't know what's best for us. I know what I prefer. I like hanging out with somebody that thinks like I think. They do things like I do things. Jesus brought three that didn't work good together. Peter, James, and John. They had issues with one another. But he knew how to bring them together because he knew they were key. Sons of thunder. I mean, they go get mom to talk to Jesus about them sitting on the right and left hand side of Jesus. And man, they get the rest of the group riled up at them. Peter gets aggravated at Jesus and said, why in the world does John get to live longer than me? So they got this strife going on in their little group, but they're supposed to be together. And the way Jesus brings them together, and they get to see something that the other 12 didn't get to see. They get to see Jesus be transfigured. Whoo! You get with the right group. Come on, man. You get with the right group and you're going to see Jesus on a level you ain't ever seen him before. And you're going to figure it out. Oh, my goodness, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And every one of the one in the group were uniquely different. And all of them were strong personalities. But they made up the right mixture when Jesus was in the equation. Anybody want to go to a higher place? You need to get around people that God wants you to be around that will sharpen you. They'll rub you the wrong way. And you have to have an ear to hear. Okay, Lord, did you really mean for me to be close to them? Yep. Are you sure? Yep. I'm just double checking, Lord. Triple checking. Is that you, Lord? Yep. I'm in it. And it's my will because I need to make you and I need you to just humble yourself before my mighty hand. The way up is down. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. Look what the Lord has done. It has got to become our testimony. It's got to be every bit of why we do what we do. Every breath we breathe is this. And I need him today. But guess what? I got this feeling. I need him more than I think I need him. I just feel that. I sense that. Lord, I really know I need you. But I sense like I really, 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 and I can't get through with really need you. It's emphatic. Every breath depends on him. Amen. In Judges 6 and 1, I got a few minutes to start this, and I got to move on into it. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. For 7 years, they gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land, ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey, they came up with their livestock and their tents and swarms like of locusts. It was impossible to count them or the camels. They invaded the land and ravaged it. Now, Israel did this year after year, until they got enough. And the first thing that you and I have to come to grips with, where we are presently at, is Is the strategy you're using working for you? That's the first thing. We got to change our strategy. Can you imagine? All right, the children of God. They're the most powerful nation in the earth. But somehow the enemy has overwhelmed them, and they don't know why. And they're ignorant. They don't know why. They hadn't had a fresh word from heaven that would keep them. So they decide, they decided to not tell the truth of their thoughts. And they used a strategy that in their own thoughts was wisdom. And they said, this is good strategy. Let's go hide. And they would hide in man caves. And you can call it a man cave if you want to. And they made strongholds out of them. And they decided that this is wisdom. We know what to do. And they went out and planted crops, hoping that they wouldn't be found out. But the enemy was watching them, just like he watches us, when we're not at a higher place than him. And every time the crops got to the place where they were, the fruit was heavy, and the herds were, amen, swelling, they came in and left the land ruined, barren. And some of you feel like that in your Christian walk right now. I'm a child. I believe in Jesus. And I go to church every Sunday. And the list goes on why you're a child of God, but the enemy just keeps overwhelming you and keeps beating you up and destroying the relationships around you and putting everything on the rocks. Not on the right one, though, huh? And so it's time to change the strategy. And I give a personal illustration of myself. Because when I came from Mississippi here, the mindset that I came from Mississippi with, my wife and I was to, amen, we encourage people. And at home, our pastor encouraged us and ministered us in such a way that when we had small groups, we had 10 to 40 in a small group. And they were from all different churches. And so in my thinking, when I left Mississippi, is that I'm going to go to San Antonio because that's the way it happens everywhere. Has anybody ever thought that wherever you go, it's just the way it is everywhere? And I came to San Antonio, and I got a rude awakening. The spirit and the prince of this region don't allow for that. And it took me a while to figure that out. I kept trying. I couldn't believe, man, my God, I'm here to serve you. How can I serve you? I'll do anything you need me to do to serve you. And at the same time, I'm going to work over here and do what the Lord told me to do in this area of San Antonio. But it wasn't received. And the next thing you know, I'm getting beat up by my ministerial colleagues and false accusations, accusing me of stuff that wasn't happening. And I'm not getting thoughts from a higher place now. And the Lord tried to tell me, said, son, you know how daddy will tell you some things, and it's like, that don't sound right, daddy. Turn the other cheek, son, and let it go. Okay, I know that's in the word, but this situation, that don't fit. And while he's talking to me, I'm checking him. I'm putting him in check and saying, that ain't right. Look, I got it, Lord. Let me take care of this. And I've gotten trained the country boy way. And that's not good. And so in my mind, I've got an idea how I'm going to get the attention of my colleagues. And two loving brothers with a prophetic ministry, didn't know what was going on. I didn't call them. I didn't tell them anything. But I'm having a meeting with my colleagues, and we're going to get this thing straight. They drove 200 miles straight to where I was at, and I was like, what are you doing here? How do you know I was here? And they said, the Lord told us. Daddy wants us to tell you what he told you already. Is God merciful? He's got the best strategy. It's not reasonable. It don't add up. It just don't sound right. But if you'll go with him, it works. And so he came and they said, look, we know. How do you know that? The Lord said. Okay. We know that your brothers are going to throw you in the pit like they did Joseph. Okay. Now you hit me in the heart now. Because I knew that's what was going on. He said, but the Lord told us to tell you, let it go. Has anybody been in that situation before in your life? Oh, I know you have. And did you try another strategy than what the higher place would tell you to do? And so I submitted to my brothers that came as prophets in my life. And doing that, I was submitting to him. Okay, man, I ain't messing with this one because I done been on this road before. Don't touch that. So I went in, turned the other cheek, submitted, and got out. But I still needed something that I didn't have. Have you ever obeyed the Lord before? And when you got through obeying, okay. But you still needed something? And so did Israel. And we read it here. The second thing that needed to happen to Israel was they needed to humble themselves. Amen? And in humbling yourself, this is what's powerful. It says this right here. Oh, I got to give you this because your identities are being attacked. And I'm gonna give it to you real quick. Israel was under attack seven different ways. They had seven different judges. These judges came in identities that were helping Israel come back to their redeemed identity. Get a chance, you want to check this out in the scriptures. Amen. The Amidians attacked the prophetic identity of Israel in the first judge. Then the Moabites attacked the servant identity of Israel, and the second judge came with a servant identity and helped Israel come back to her redeemed identity. The Philistines attacked the teacher identity. The Canaanites attacked the exhorter or the encourager identity in Israel. The Midianites attacked the giver identity. That's where we have Gideon. He's a giver. The nation of Israel is being attacked from their giving identity. Then Jotham's life and the curse that he brought was on the ruler identity. And then the Ammonites attacked the mercy identity of Israel. And every time God brought the identity back to them by sending one that would come in that identity to minister to Israel a word. I just wonder where you fit in the redeemed identities and what God has planned for you in a world that's hurting. But you must come to your identity. For me to get there, humility is paramount. And it says this, amen. Come to your identity, amen, by humbling yourself in the Lord. And Israel had enough. And Midian, Judges 6 and 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. And when they cried out, God heard them. Amen. Well, I needed something the Lord hadn't given me yet because I hadn't humbled myself. And I remember when nobody was at home, after I had been through that with my brothers, I remember, God, I can't make it. I know that what you told me through those prophets that came to me was exactly what you told me prior to them coming, and it was the right thing to do. But I'm lacking something, and I got to have it. And on my face, when I cried out, I don't know what to do with this. There's stuff inside of me right now. I don't know how to handle it, and you got to handle it for me. And he met me there. And he came when I cried out. And he gave me something I couldn't get no other way. I experienced God on a level that day because I was on my face. I was humble before him, and I was saying, help me now, Jesus. And I promise you, the moment you feel after him on that level, he will suddenly come to his temple. And he came and filled me again with his spirit and his presence and spoke through me and prophetically spoke through me my victory and gave me a vision that really changed my life. And I saw him as he was on the cross, and it was ugly, and he was tormented. He was beat to a pulp. But what I saw, his eyes just looked through me at that time. And I heard him speak in the King James language. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, keep in mind, he is going through, I'm seeing him go through agony, and he's suffering on such a level that I couldn't comprehend being in his position, and his attention is on me. And he tells me, forgive them. They don't know what a rock that's higher than me. What forgiveness looks like. And being used to bring me to this place of that God was into them. And when I got that revelation, I can't do anybody. That you can't inflict pain in my life. And I know I've heard it logically. It sounds like, but I know exactly when I'm. They ain't no way they knew they didn't slap me just then. And you got to check at that moment. The moment you get slapped the first time, you're going to find out what you believe. You're going to find out who you're following. And if you can turn the other cheek, what are you doing at that moment? You're setting yourself up to go to a higher place. Because it's not possible for you to inflict wound on me unless you're ignorant. And when I come to that revelation by humbling myself to him and experiencing a vision while Jesus is suffering on the level that he's suffering, and he was intent, focused on me, it changed my life. Change your strategy on how you're dealing with life, your relationships. Humble yourself. Wherever you're at right now, if you can go lower and defer, you can go higher to that rock that's higher than you. And once you come to the place where you can humble yourself before God, then you can deal, number three, with the thing that you fear the most. That's when Israel was able to deal with the enemy. They got sick of it. Enough's enough. And after 7 years of the same thing, they cried out. And God heard them. And God sent them a prophet. And God reminded them, did not I bring you out of Egypt? Did I not call you my own? Did I not redeem you and set you free? Did I not set you up and give you houses you didn't build? Did I not set you up as the children of Abraham, the one I gave promise to? And but he just unloads on them everything he had done for them. And he's letting them know, not bad news, but good news. I chose you. You didn't choose me. You can't choose Jesus. He chooses us. I've never been against you. You let the enemy come in, and you believed them instead of me. You did this to yourself. And that's the prophet gives them good news. Now what you going to do about it? And they humbled themselves in prayer. And at that point, they were at a place that they were ready to deal with the enemy. and face their fears. So I ask you the question today. What are you afraid of? Well, Pastor, tell us how you dealt with your fears. All right. After that vision, after that experience with God, I experienced God when I was about to do the country boy thing, because God sent like angels to me and told me everything that was going to happen and even told me what God told me. So that's an experience of like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I still needed some things I didn't have, and I go tell Jesus about it, and he gives me an experience in the Spirit that I cannot deny. Not only that, he shows me how intent he is on me, even in his own suffering. He saw me before I ever existed. He saw the very day that I got serious with him, and he's letting me know, I was looking at you then, and I had a plan. And he's looking at you and me, every one of us. He don't miss anything. He sees you. He knows what the pain's about. He knows what the headache's about. He knows what the frustration's about. He understands broken relationships. He knows everything you're going through, and he wants to do something about it. And that experience that happened to me that day empowered me to do what I couldn't do otherwise. And it was so on a level that I could hear his voice at a new level. And I mean, the impressions were not audible. They were like breath, breathing. I could just, it was coming in and out. I could feel the thoughts coming in that were resisting every lie I told my thoughts. Those spirits didn't have any place no more. And I was being set free from every lie that was holding me captive. And I was able to sit down and do what the Spirit told me. He said, write letters to each one of them. And he gave me the words to write on those letters. And then he had me, now I want you to give gifts to them. And he had me send out to every one of them letters and gifts. He said, now, I'll take care of the rest, son. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. Not right now, when God tells me to. What are you afraid of? Because the thing you fear has everything to do with who you really are. The thing that makes you nervous, that you really don't want to have to deal with, you want to keep hidden from people, you can't know why, and you put this religious mask on like, I'm good, everything's good, God is good, amen, he's great. It's all well. And really, the truth is, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I mean, I am surrounded by the enemy. I don't know what to do. My best friend has betrayed me. I don't know what the list is. You got your list, but it's got you in a stalemate. And you've been doing it year after year after year. And it's time to stop. Enough's enough. What are you afraid of? Who are you? God wants to tell you who you are. You're so powerful. You're set apart. Redemption is yours to claim. It's already been given. Have you claimed it? Your ticket's already been punched. He ain't quitting. That's why you're still breathing. He ain't quitting. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor? Yeah, you heard the same lie that lots of people heard. Well, I blaspheme God. I got no hope, and you're still breathing. The only way God will not forgive me, the only way he will not forgive me is when I won't forgive someone else. And it's not because he don't want to forget. He wants to forgive me. Oh, man, I want to forgive you. Hurry up and forgive them. Because if you don't release them, I can't release you. Your decision to hold someone captive has brought you into prison. So what are you afraid of? And the way we blaspheme the Holy Spirit is when we reject God's mercy that he wants to impart to someone else. God wants to love on people, and the only way he can love on them on the level he wants to is through his body. So what are you afraid of? Address that and you'll find out who you are. Because when Israel addressed the thing they feared, they were able to step back into their giving, redempting their redemptive identity of giving. And they become God's nation of giving. You ready to become God's child of whatever your identity is? The encourager, the prophetic, the king? Let's deal with our fears today. Father, thank you right now that in every heart here, you've already awakened them to the thing that they fear. And you're already speaking about who they are. Because the thing that they fear is how the enemies attack their identity. Thank you right now, Lord, for the kind of hope that's in this room. That we will stand up and make the enemy begin to run. And we will face the things we've been afraid of and make him run seven different ways. There is a place higher than where you are. And he's ready to take you right now. And you don't have to worry about what the next person thinks if you go in there. It really don't matter, does it? Enough is enough. Whatever it takes, Daddy, I'm going there. Anybody want to go to that higher place right now? How great is your God to you right now? Could we stand? If you know of someone that's in that place and they've given you permission to encourage them and prod them, I'm asking you right now in the Spirit to join with them. And if they need prayer, walk with them down here so that their chains can fall off of them today. And they can step into their new identity. Well, it's their God-given identity. And finally live. Thank you, Father. Let's lift our hands to heaven, our hearts to God, and let's quickly be obedient to the drawing of His Spirit right now. All of our hearts, Lord, we give to you right now.